Welcome once again, everyone, to the wrestling show. I'm Cav Manning from the Lingus Mafia, along with Mr. Controversy and Mr. Piss Everyone Off and Cause a Lot of Shit Disturbance. I don't know what else we could add to your name, but Billy Body.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I enjoy a catastrophe is what I fucking like.
Didn't even really do that much. It was really nothing by comparison.
Well, I mean, listen, somebody's father dies and you take a jab at them, of course they're going to fucking cry and they're going to have a problem about it. But what's funny is that I tweeted them.
Her dad died weeks ago.
And she's just heartbroken right now about it still.
No, not heartbroken at all. She's going on and on about it. I don't understand these people that bring their entire life to social media. Like, the thought pops in your head.
I agree.
You have to tweet, but it's constantly. It's all fucking day. Like, do you think that anyone else gives a fuck about your dad? Do you think one person is interested in that at all? Like, these marks, they may find you attractive. All I see is a very normal-looking girl. But
the main picture is attractive. And then you see non-fucking glamour shots. And then you're fucking like, okay, I understand now. Because I saw yesterday for the first time a non-glamour shot. And we should probably bring everyone up to date on what the hell we're even talking about. Billy commented to Ryan Satin's girlfriend on Twitter. And it was a good line because she said something about, this is the most horrible thing that's ever happened in my life. And she makes a list.
Her dad got like buried on Zoom.
Yeah, she had to watch the dad be buried on Zoom, and I'm like, why is he like had corona or something? Is he far away? What prevented you from being there, for one? So whose fault is this? And then so Billy replied, listen, you voluntarily blow Ryan Satin. This can't be the worst thing that's ever happened to you. Which is a fucking funny line. And I'm out golfing at the time. And my co-host, Fausti, he goes, well, Billy's getting it today. He's getting in trouble and getting yelled at. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I start looking at Twitter and giggling like a fucking schoolgirl. And had to retweet it and do my usual about how I am so offended by it that I work with this horrible human being and how vulgar this Billy is. Just kidding. It was pretty funny. You know, shit like that I like to do. And so I see that Satin then, like, has to, retweet that Billy's a horrible person and everyone please help me report him and he needs to be reported for this. And all you need is a handful of people to go with you and report something on Twitter and you're going to get fucking reported and taken down. They don't even look at the content, I don't think. I think they say, oh, this many people have complained, just remove them. I think it matters nothing about what you say.
And at that point, I need to restart another fucking account again. But the thing that annoyed me was that there were some people on, like, Russo's show who have been listening to this entire thing throughout the weeks about what kind of person he is and all the issues he's caused for me and Russo, and they were going, oh, we don't like Satin, but this is too far. It's too fucking far to say something about, to make a joke about his girlfriend having a Zoom funeral for her dad that she's gone on about for two fucking weeks. And the fact is, she does voluntarily suck off Satin. The fact is, it's
she. Well, we don't know if it's voluntary.
She's a piece of shit as well, like him. So why am I supposed to feel any sympathy for her? And at the same time, I went after somebody in his life, which would have a temporary effect of, you know, 10 minutes maybe. She was like pissed off with the comment. I had to deal with my fucking account being gone, which I'd never ever get back. So it still affects me to this point. Thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds there. That I lost out on getting numerous people to report me. My reputation goes down with that because people always do this whole big thing. It's like, you can't just be a prick. You have to be a prick who then talks shit, because they always add the whole thing. I was like, I always see it. oh yeah, like he's this credible, like he said this stuff about women's wrestling, all his, and it's like all the stories that they put out are bullshit. It's like, no, hold on a second, I don't give a fuck. What, I don't give a solitary fuck if you say I'm the biggest fucking piece of shit in the world. I don't care, because look at the state of all of you. Look at the fucking state of you, all of you, every one of you. And even if you're listening to this, I don't give a fuck, because I'm way above you socially, so I don't care. And I always will be. So I'm not bothered whether you stop listening or whatever, because honestly, this is not fucking lining my pockets with fucking gold. So I don't care. So at the end of the day, they always come, they always add that little bit where they turn around and say, and all the stuff is, all their stories are bullshit and they're uncredible and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, one doesn't have to do with the other.
Nothing has to do with the other. You think I'm a piece of shit because I say whatever I like and I'm not just, and I remember what this product was and haven't like just aligned with the fact that the company went PC, so every fan went PC and the world went PC and everybody went PC. Everybody just turned around and was like, oh, gays, oh yeah, let's promote that to children, oh gays, let's get married, oh transgenders, well I guess they can be boys and I guess they can be girls, oh wrestling, oh yeah, like all those times we looked at Sonny and Sable and jacked off to divas, yeah, we were fucking trash. Like, let's look at the Bellas as wrestlers, let's look at Lana as a wrestler, let's look at all these women as wrestlers, oh let's pretend that going through like three ad breaks and doing no fucking stories and not be bothering to tell anything is good TV. Let's fucking criticize the fact that they try to do something with Jeff Hardy, but they have to blow it all off before the end of the show because some fucking little retard like Ryan Satin will complain about it. Let's all pretend that everything is all fine and we're all having a good time, and let's all fucking cancel culture. Let's all jump on everyone that's doing well with an alternative product. Let's all fucking jump on that JD from New York, me. Let's all say that Russo was shit and his product was shit and he didn't know what he was doing and he was a joke and he buried one company. And the only reason he gets credit for anything at WWE because he had a ton of like ideas and Vince McMahon took a couple of them, because it, really the guy went to WCW and was exposed as a retard. Let's all fucking believe all of this shit that's put out by fucking virgins that cover wrestling, or at least if they're not virgins, their wives probably look like fucking dogs. Let's have a look at Derek Montier's wife and put her up against Meltzer's and all the other guys, and it's probably all in the same fucking league, which is a league I wouldn't put my fucking dick in if you paid me more than I get to cover this fucking stupid fucking wrestling for the entire year. If you paid me five times more, I still wouldn't put my dick in anything that they're married to. So that's the situation that we're at. But it all, the thing that really winds me up the most out of all of it is when they turn around and say, he's this, he's that, he's this, and his, all his stuff is wrong. Fuck you. Fuck you. Because none of it's wrong. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting there on a podcast. And I think Russo knows it's a fucking shitstorm. And I think he's realized in 6 weeks, if I take this guy on, like by taking this guy on, a lot of shit comes with it. But I have not received one email or one bit of correspondence or not even a warning to tone down anything, because I'm not going to be going anywhere, because I email him shit that's happening through the week and all of it happens. Everybody's been sitting on Patreon, has been seeing all the stuff happening for like the past 3 years, and everybody's been winning money. So fuck all of you losers. I don't really even have anything else to say today.
So what do you think about the greatest match of all time?
You can do the show. I'll chip in, and you can. I'm so disconnected from it this week. I'm saying, like in the group chat, it's like,
yeah,
if my son's out, I'm out. Like that's it.
Yeah, you're so close. You're close to being done, which is part of me, you know, because we do it to each other. When I said, "Oh, I'm not watching. I'm disgusted," you go, "You're a fucking liar," and you're right, of course. And the same thing is to you. It's like, I don't know. I think you are a lifer like I am. You will have it on. Doesn't mean you are studying it or looking forward to it, but I believe you will have it. You will watch each week what happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's taken a long time to get to this point, and it is quite bad. But I mean, the point we're talking at the moment is in terms of...
As soon as Derek's friend wins the title, that's when you want to stop watching?
What are you saying? When Drew won the title?
As soon as he won the title, didn't you stop? You're like, fuck this.
But it all comes around in stages. I mean, even with Drew, I've talked to him so much less in the last 2 weeks, because it's just a case of like, you know, coming up with ideas and talking about a product and stuff requires a pretty high level of like interest from my part. But at the moment, like, my energy really goes into trying to make this show a good hour, and in doing another good, you know, 40 minutes or whatever on Russo show, like an hour and 40 minutes of content, which is different now to, and that's what pisses me off the most, because there's more effort and thought and whatnot that's gone into doing all his shows and then doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
And it always comes back down to the fact that he's this and he's that, and he said this 3 years ago and whatever. And it's like, and then they'll all, I don't understand how you can watch this wrestling and whatever point you started watching it from and then still follow this fucking dweeb. I just think it just gets to the point where I've reached the conclusion that most of these fans are younger than me and didn't come on board at this point. Because when you're looking at 40-year-old men being aligned with Ryan Satin, something with that just doesn't compute with me, because they must know that they had a better product, and they must surely understand that he stands against that product, and he stands against every, he's a cancel culture. He's completely, I'm the opposite. I'm, let's fucking put everything on TV, all of the old TV shows with the black faces and everything. Let's fucking put it on. Doesn't mean I'm racist. Doesn't mean that I'm supporting the police in this whole thing. In fact, I'm the complete opposite. I think we should kick the fuck out of the white police in these matters. And all of the people that put All Lives Matters and all that might as well just label themselves as racist. There's a lot of white people that I'd like to see to get the shit kicked out of them in over the last few weeks. That's not an anti-black thing, but the fact is that you're entitled to be racist. You're entitled to do whatever you want. And the fact is that you're entitled to watch every, there should be access to everything that we put on. Like, I don't believe in this fucking censorship at all. What I believe in is that you're a fucking person with a fucking brain in your head, most of you, and you should be able to just turn around and say, I like that and I don't like that. And if I don't like that, I won't watch that.
There
and
you
let
go.
The rest of us fucking get on with it. That's my biggest problem.
That was always the Howard issue. It was, if you don't like it, turn the fucking channel. Nobody's forcing you, but it's like, how dare that be on? I'm going to stand on a soapbox and make sure this is not forever. And it's like, you're not everybody's parent. You can parent your own kid not to watch it if you're very offended by it. What the hell do you have to do to, you want to stop other people from watching something, or I'm passing judgment on something? Fuck off.
This is the real part I'm not getting, in terms of, like, we have all these like streaming networks and cable channels, and we have more, so much more than we could even possibly live to watch in two lifetimes, right? Or even more. You'd think that now it would get to the point where you could have a hardcore pornography TV channel, right?
Yeah.
That there would actually be, I think it would evolve the opposite way, where in terms of they're turning around and saying, you know what?
Nothing can shock anyone.
Yeah, nothing can shock anybody. Let's just encrypt the porno channel and run porn for all the way from after 11 o'clock at night. We'll put porn, or just have a code or whatever, and then you can just have porn, and then we can sell, and then we can sell adverts on the porn, because then all the car companies and everything can just advertise on the porn channel, because you know it's all going to be men, and you know that, like, they're gonna be able to sell adverts on the channel, right? Because that's gonna absolutely kill it in the 18 to 49 demographics if you put like hardcore porn on TV. But I think that's should be at that point where you have everything on the internet should be on television, and if you don't want to go to that channel, you don't go to it. And I don't understand. And in terms of this whole thing with what we're supposed to be talking about with the wrestling at the moment, I hear everybody turning around and saying generally that this Raw was great and it was the best Raw of the year so far.
Really?
By what standards, though? Like, because by what standards? The fact that it didn't feel like 9 hours.
I didn't see any real difference to it, to tell you the truth. I mean,
and there were people like promoting it before, like who had some like infied information on Christian, and they were turning around and saying, mm-hmm. like, oh, tonight's going to be a great show. It's a stacked show. It's like a massive surprise tonight and all that. It's like, really? To who? Because my son didn't know that Christian had a concussion injury. I mean, and to to a very, this is the thing, we're always talking about this very tiny, tiny, tiny wrestling bubble of people. And it would be real tiny to know the ins and outs of Christian, because they didn't announce it. He didn't even have a, he didn't have a retirement speech like Brian or Edge. He just found out that he had a concussion and dropped off and just stopped wrestling. He didn't even notice it. There was no big retirement about it. So now you're talking about the very, very microscopic amount of people that would have thought, whoa, this is a big deal. Christian's back. And we're talking about somebody that had like one world title run. So,
and it's like, in those people that only search shit online that would even know that. Because if you just watched it and weren't an online person, you wouldn't. You would just think, oh, he went away. And you don't even know why. And because they didn't even say, oh, I have head injuries on this last Raw.
Right.
If they said that, it would make more sense. Because you'd be like, oh, he can't get his head. He's got a concussion fucking thing. But maybe they're, are they scared to fucking mention concussions? So they didn't do that? They just said he's not cleared? They never said why. Unless I missed it because I was playing Madden.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't think they specifically... They said he's got a history... They said his history of injuries. That's what I heard them say.
Mm. So, yeah, that could have been... he breaks his arm often. I mean, what the fuck?
But there's so much stuff. I mean, it's just generally just from... From having another Twitter account gone, which is fine, because I mean, all those people will just come back. But it's a,
well, what is your new Twitter, by the way? Well, do you have one? Because I know a fan actually made one for you. That you're, I saw on their like bio that you're not like that. You got nothing to do with it. So, are you just gonna be like whispering to that fan? Did they reach out to you to tweet on your behalf since you can't have one anymore?
Yeah, luckily that fan managed to grab the handle dirtysheets.com, and yeah, I'll be basically just
whispering to them.
Yeah, if I have anything urgent or I desperately want to tweet out, then yeah, I'll put it over on that Twitter account, and you'll be able to like pass messages on to me through that Twitter account as well.
Yeah,
so and technically, I won't be on there.
And if he disappears, that one, because God, I don't know if. This will be very interesting because I wonder if me having any association, mine will disappear because you whisper to me to put something up. You know, it's like, are you guilty by association? So is like my Cav Manning account going to fucking go away? Because I know you.
I literally have like no idea how Twitter works. That's but odd. I did nothing this time in terms of just sending her that one message where it said you blow set, and it doesn't come into a hate speech.
No.
It doesn't fall under racism, it doesn't fall under homophobia, it doesn't fall under anything at all. And it's the same last time. Didn't do anything last time either. They always send you a message going, oh, you have violated the terms and conditions. It's like, but I know what the terms and conditions are. I didn't do them last time and didn't do them this time either.
So there's no freedom of speech. It's 100% like a fucking communist, fucking controlled. You can't say what you want.
But there is freedom of speech because there's a woman over here called Katie Hopkins that apparently was suspended from Twitter, but then she ended up getting her account back. She had like a million followers, and there was a whole headline out that she got her account, that she got suspended, and everyone was laughing at her. But then I go on Twitter and see that she somehow managed to get it back. So I don't know how it works. I don't know whether you buy it back or...
You have to be so milquetoast and fucking nice with every tweet and not say anything even fucking close, because that girlfriend of his said, I hope you die. So
yeah.
By that fucking assumption, she should be fucking suspended then too. It's retarded. Where in my life, I don't think she should be suspended, because I don't think you should be suspended for anything you say, unless it's to go cause fucking terrorist acts. You know, if you're saying, hey, I want everyone to assemble to fucking burn something down, that's a different story. That kind of shit you can't do. Like, you can't go yell fire in a theater. It's the same thing as what it should be for then Twitter. You should be able to say whatever the fuck you want, as long as you're not encouraging people to fucking do a terrorist act.
Well, this is Trump's read thing with him. He said, you're not social media. You're a news site. You're a... You determine what content goes on and off. You're an editor, so you don't then get you then you're then responsible for what does go up. which he's actually right about. Because I seriously hope this format of social media gets taken down. Like, I would love to see them go away. Because the thing
it would
like,
be great, wouldn't it?
Because I fucking can't stand it. I could go away to and be on Instagram, but the only thing I don't like about that is it has to be a fucking picture along with everything that you fucking say. But the thing is that I don't get verified in Instagram. Same way I got verified in Twitter. It's no fucking issue. Like, it's just a case of having being a person who has a search engine on Google or has search results. I mean, sorry, but yeah, that's about it.
You could always text on the notepad and then take a picture of the notepad and post that as your picture and just make it fucking Twitter from now on.
Yeah, I mean,
because you could type a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, I'll find a way around it. I mean, that's going to have to be the way we're moving forward. Because
what's your Instagram?
The Instagram is just the Dirty Sheets.
Okay.
But the one that they'll verify is going to be the Billy Barty one. I don't know what that one's called, though. Let me see what handle I ended up getting. Ages ago. It's Billy SGP, Sports Gambling Podcast, because I think I was going to end up doing some...
Billy SGP on Instagram. Mm. And Billy with an I, so everybody knows and wants to go there. But, I mean, here's the whole, like, I wanted to actually reach out to Satin and talk normal and ask stuff and say to come on a show because I try to talk normal so he won't, you know, because you're just going to get blocked if you fucking, you know, say anything. Because I've gotten blocked on Lingus Mafia and on Cav Manning, you know, all that, but... On my fucking little secret spy fucking accounts, they were retweeting stuff I said with when I said, oh, now you can get this tattoo. And it said I could do anything I want because my dad is dead. They fucking retweeted and liked it and commented. So I was like, well, that's different. So I wanted to say because like when I wanted to confront Derek from that shitty steel cage and that Joshua slob, about why we were at fucking war, and they won't even speak. They won't fucking comment because they know they're completely wrong and they have nothing. There's no way they could debate. And anyone who can't speak and have a debate won't ever do it because they're dead in the fucking water and they won't have a leg to stand on. So my whole thing was why that you have a problem with Satin, and I want him to know the fucking reason because I really don't think he knows. I think he's fucking oblivious to why. And if he knows, I can't imagine that he would just be like, oh, you shouldn't be upset. Because he took money out of your fucking pocket for comments he does not agree with. It is, and like to have a campaign, these are those old ladies who would write radio stations about Howard to get him off the air. You have nothing better to do than to fucking try to get someone else off because that's your business and he's doing better than you. Instead of going, you know what, competition, I better pick my fucking game up. Instead of being EA Sports, the only one who can make fucking Madden and you'll take whatever I fucking give you because there's nobody else. So in that respect, he fucking takes money out of your pocket and gets you fucking taken away from other websites that are scared to death of people fucking saying bad things about them and heavens to Murgatroyd. And he doesn't think that someone should go after him and fucking talk shit. Of all things, someone took your fucking money away. You wouldn't be pissed off? Get the fuck out of here.
You see the video that kid did pointing out all of the things where, all of the things where he's a hypocrite.
No, I didn't see.
Yeah, it was a video I posted in a group. So do you guys needed to watch it?
Oh, when was this? I guess I didn't see. I saw Nick constantly posting things about pussy farts. I don't know what other things get mixed in there.
Well, politics, mostly.
Yeah, that's what I'm always... Yeah, that's probably why I passed it by. But other than that, I don't think he would have the balls enough to even talk about it. And I would say Billy won't be on that show. I will talk to him because he'll be too afraid to be attacked if you're there. First things first, I will fucking speak one-on-one. And if anybody that listens to this show is a Satin guy and talks to him, send him this and see if what he would say about it, because there is nothing to be scared of. I said, I know Billy's side. Let's hear his side. Maybe his side is completely fucking different. He can talk. He could say whatever he wants. But the problem is,
but he's all fake. No, that's the thing. He's all fake. Like he would just fake his way through. The ego. Mm-hmm. He tried to get rid of me. He targeted me because I had a verified account covering wrestling at the time in 2017. We were the only two people. Meltzer didn't have one. Alvarez didn't have one. Nobody else had one.
That's crazy. Him.
So that was it. He wanted to get rid of the other person. There's nothing more to it. And he's not even. Do you think he sits there at home by himself, without being on Twitter, sitting down with his girlfriend, and he talks about all of the social injustices in the world? Of course he doesn't. He's a fucking liar. No, but his behavior doesn't correspond with his beliefs on social media, where he's offended by everything.
He's trying to get a job.
He's like many other people, but he's somebody with more of a voice, where all of these people, they log in to get offended.
Yes.
And then they'll talk about what's offended them. I just don't understand this. These are the kind of people that I have the biggest issue with. I don't understand this at all, and think that we should be trying to get rid of them.
Do you imagine if everything was fucking safe and bland and fucking no one offending? It's getting there. Because, I mean, I'm old. I'm fucking 44. And back in my day, you know, there was the Eddie Murphy special out there. Later on was the fucking Chris Rock stuff. Now you get some Chappelle out there. Controversial, that blue humor, as they call it. I know the fucking Eddie Murphy shit would never fucking go today, because everybody'd have a fucking fit. And you shouldn't even say it wouldn't go today, because it should be fucking said today. Who fucking cares? You don't like it, then don't fucking listen. Go fuck yourselves. But everybody bows down to the pressure instead of saying, whatever. You know, who cares? I don't care what you say. If you don't like it, I guarantee you more people will support that concert than will rebel against it and will enjoy themselves. There was a female comedian, Lisa Lampanelli. All she did was fucking go after every race. Every fucking race would fucking get it from her. And it was the funniest fucking shit ever. I'm sure she can't do fucking anything now. But I'm trying to think, who's the big comedian of the day today? Do you know who is, like, supposedly, like, the fucking tops? I still think, like, Chappelle, because Chappelle will have a special
come
out.
In terms of what? In terms of money or in terms of...
Yeah, who's, like, the most popular right now? Who does... I mean,
oh,
are there...
fucking...
The kids fucking like...
It's fucking Kevin Hart. His comedy's terrible. It's fucking awful.
Yeah, you're right. It is Kevin Hart, isn't it? It's bland. It's not daring. I will laugh at stuff, of course, but on some of his stuff, but it is in a daring take a risk type of shit. That's for sure.
No, it's not. It's nowhere near as watchable as
Chappelle or anything. Chappelle, Chris Rock, nobody's.
But even
yet.
The last Seinfeld, I found boring. The last one that he did on Netflix.
Well, I don't know. I think Seinfeld's always the same. I mean, his is very clean. His is clean as you can fucking get, and it always has been. So he's never had to change anything. He's not going to swear. He's not going to do anything like that. So he were clean. But even like shit from his show, they wouldn't fucking do it today with the jerking off episode. They can't do it. God forbid. Fucking world would end if someone knew about somebody jerking off.
I don't even know what to say anymore. It's just...
I mean, do you want to do little bullet points on what happened on the fucking weekend for wrestling and the weird shit? I mean, pretty much the only thing I think we could even should bother to talk about is the quote-unquote greatest match ever, because it was fucking bizarre. And the weird shit that they did about piping in fucking sounds and... doing different theater shots, like from underneath where you see Edge's face, where I'm like, well, that's going to be a meme out there. And a suplex inside the ring where the cameraman is like then jumping on top of their face with the fucking camera.
It's It's a shame with all of that, because I think that had they held off and done it in front of crowds and whatnot and didn't give it a stupid tagline, mm-hmm. everybody would be talking about it and saying, well, that's one of the greatest matches at SummerSlam ever.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. It would have been their SummerSlam top 3-4, whatever.
Yeah, if they did it at SummerSlam.
But with all of the distractions where you have to, we have to get away from the piped in sound, Joe's lips not matching up. and the silly sequence of other people's finishers in order to adhere to that greatest match ever nonsense.
Yeah, I was waiting for a lot more people's moves to come into suit there. I'm waiting for some leg drops and, you know, Macho Man shit.
That feels very like Eugene like.
I fucking thought the same thing. And there was something that happened where I said, oh, they should fucking mention Eugene. Oh, I forget when it was, but it was exactly what I was thinking. I was like, oh, this is a Eugene match. He just does everybody's fucking finisher.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, for me, it was just a case of everything around it ruined it. In terms of not ruined it enough for me to not think that the match was good, but it's nowhere near what a shame. Like, basically, it's always the other way around in terms of everything gets the big build and then the match has to live up to the build. But mm-hmm. usually, like, you get a good build coming in, then the match is, you know, the match is held in a higher level, like where Shawn Michaels and Undertaker had all of that heaven and hell stuff going in, and then they did that, they incorporated that into their entrances, and then the match delivered. And then the following year, you added the retirement to it. So they had all the good stuff going in, whereas this one was handicapped going in to the point where you would just turn around and going, yeah, it's good, but it's not the greatest. And it's not the greatest because of this. And it's not the greatest because of that. I was sat and watched it with Austin, and he was going, this isn't the greatest. This isn't the greatest. And then he fell asleep.
Yeah, they put themselves up against a fucking rock in a hard place with that kind of shit, where if you're setting up something to be that right off the bat, I mean, Jesus Christ, all you're going to have is people fucking sitting there waiting to say, this isn't great. And then Edge tears his fucking tricep and he's out for the fucking year, which you had said to me, a blessing in disguise. He can come back when there's a fucking crowd.
Well, what did I say?
You said blessing in disguise.
Oh, with the injury. Oh, yeah, because he'll be out to Rumble. He can just start his start from Rumble again.
Yeah, I think that was a good line by Orton, though, when he said, I hear you'll be back in July 2029. I said, that's fucking great. Because people are like, oh, next month.
I mean, parts of Raw were fine. But the thing is that the format and then relying on Bruce Pritchard, who's pretty much just... He's been brought up in this industry by Vince. He's worked underneath Vince all the time. So what you're just getting is Vince 10 years younger with no extra ideas other than someone who is able to have an opinion and express it to Vince, but not too much of an opinion because he doesn't think too differently to Vince. Well, I heard Cornette saying that Vince always says, while he was there, he always turned to Bruce and said to other people, Bruce gets it. But what he meant was, Bruce thinks like me.
Yeah.
And that's what he means. So how is it going to improve when you got someone that thinks like Vince doing two shows? The people that don't think like Vince got fired from these positions. And everybody running the show, the two main guys, have a combined age of 135 or whatever. So you're not going to end up getting anything decent between Kevin Dunn, Vince and Pritchard, and it's just tired fucking format of matches that go through breaks and Raw starts with some kind of interview or whatever, and it's like these people standing around backstage and they can't fucking act, and they come on camera and it's either they're like they recite lines in their promo or they have to act with each other when it's like fucking, it's like actors class day two all the fucking time with Natalia and Lana. I wanted to fucking just fast forward through the whole... It's so embarrassing. Like, imagine if you were sitting there with someone else and, like, trying to
watch... The two of the worst actresses together now.
But the thing is that they go in total divas and they make that believe they're able to engage with each other. The camera's there and they're able to like have a party, and then also have like little parties or real conversations. And I really believe, you know, it was really believable that Nia didn't like Carmella and Carmella didn't like Nia. But you can't convey that on TV. When you're standing on TV, it's like you're standing there trying to do, trying to just basically do drama classes.
See, that's why I always say that Total Divas is real. Because people say, you know, it's not. Obviously, it's scripted and stuff. And I go, I see the acting on Raw. They are not even close to that fucking shit acting on Divas. So
no,
I'm like,
it's different. No, but you're wrong. It's different people producing them. And that's what happens when you don't have the wrestling people, because the wrestling people don't know what they're fucking... Look, there's no way Total Divas can be real, because the fact is that they managed to find a story for everybody. The last series, they had the whole thing with Nia and Carmella running, and then you had this whole thing where they blatantly set up stuff between Ronda and Sonya, so Sonya would have something to do, and Sonya's got all that stuff with her girlfriend that comes in. Like, everybody has their fucking shit going on, and it's all fucking written for them by... You know, they take little bits of what they're going on and then they turn it up, which is what wrestling's supposed to be. So I fully believe that all of that is acting. But the fact is that the people that control the content are television people that know what's supposed to go on television. And WWE tried to control the wrestling, the in-ring promo, the backstage promo, and the interactions between the people backstage. They are controlling 75% of stuff that they know fuck all about. And they don't, and the only thing that they know about it is what they've produced for the last fucking 20 years, and that's all been fucking shit too. So it's just unwatchable at this point until you smash it up and turn around and say, if we're going to be doing this many hours, if we're going to have this much reliance on these performers, then they need to learn how to act. And then we need people to come in and different people to shoot, to produce and shoot the backstage, as compared to the fucking in-ring stuff, because it just doesn't work anymore.
How is it that Lana?
No one knew was going to watch this. No one knew is ever going to tune in to watch this. Above the age of five.
How is it that Lana has not gotten in trouble for being in blackface all the time in the back?
I feel like fucking somebody's trolling her because Rusev left.
I mean, she's darker than fucking Lashley is.
She looks fucking awful. Like, I don't even know how it's possible for someone that attractive to go onto TV and have somebody make her look that bad. Like, they'd have to be trying to make her look that bad.
A couple weeks ago, I shit you not, for a couple seconds, she came on the screen and I did not know who it was, and I thought it was a black chick. I was like,
"Oh, you told me."
I couldn't fucking believe it. She was so fucking dark. And I'm like, "What the who the fuck is this?" And I was like, "Oh my fucking god. That's her." And she is so terrible at her lines and everything. Did you hear, like, I almost, like, I get giddy. It's like when we were always going to have an Eva Marie match. I loved it. I was always like, oh, I can't wait, because there's going to be a fuck-up. And now it's like that with Lana. And you're like, oh, I can't wait till she's there, because she'll overact and scream, or, you know, it'll be terrible. And she gets up there, and she has the mic, and she says, instead of let that sink in, she says, let that sit in. What the fuck, man? She doesn't know the term is let that sink in.
No,
what?
She's genuinely stupid. If you watch,
I agree.
other stuff outside. But the thing is, the one that gets me the most, and from all the time that she's been there, is how terrible Natalya is.
Oh, awful. She's by far. And they even did that on Total Divas where she shit-talked her and said, learn how to fucking act or something. But
who said that to her?
I think Lana actually fucking said it to her, if I recall, which is very funny, because I'm like, of all people, she's the one. But Lana is better than Natalya, which is scary. I think Lana's gotten worse.
Do you see the way that she was giving her lines, that she was like giving it to Liv, and how terrible that sounded? And then, yeah, Liv just like walks off, and it was like, who let this get on TV? Like, how was this the take? How bad were the takes that were not used?
Yeah, and it made no sense. I didn't understand. I'm like, so is just Natty just being a bad guy? Is that what the fuck is going on here? She's like, no wonder you were kicked out of the group. I'm like, because she fucking lost. I don't know, you know, what they were fucking doing. So I'm like, she wrestled and lost. That was it. It wasn't like she got fucking, you know, was distracted taking a picture or something. But then I'm like, oh, good. They're going to have Lana and Natty, like, hang out together and be a fucking team. I don't know where they go with Lana after this now, where they finally just got rid of her and Lashley together. Because it's kind of like there was nothing for her to do. I always thought Rusev deserved better in real life.
I mean, she's unbearable and she's unusable at this point. I don't know what they're going to do with her. I mean, at least in the ring, she was saying, oh, you know, I could have gone with someone more famous or whatever, which is the kind of thing that you would expect her to say in the kind of way you'd expect her to be. But
and they stepped over each other's line when he said that, because she said, like, Drew, but Bobby was talking at the same time, so you didn't even hear it.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be a big ooh line.
Yeah. I'm sure. God. And then I noticed there were some fat people in the crowd. Like, their friends and family now are in the crowd. Meanwhile, now they're bringing in the fucking plague with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had that story on Russo's thing last week. And we hadn't even talked about that this week. Because, I mean, there's no... Do you know what? It's like...
You're disgusted with the whole fucking thing at this point. So this week's Russo show should be fucking good.
But I don't even know. I was just saying we didn't discuss last week's, but I don't even remember anything on last week's, to be honest. Just completely out of my head. I can't remember anything I said last week. I don't remember remotely what the show was about.
It always goes through my head and out the other. I remember that it was good, but I do remember you mentioning the like the tickets are gonna say stuff like if you catch the fucking plague, they're not responsible. And Russo is 100% right about nobody cares, because it'd be the same as any sporting event. Would you care? Like, would you go, oh, well, I can't sue him if I'm dying. I don't care. I know the risk. I'm going by my own risk anyway. So the sue part doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it was a choice between the waivers and the and having like full testing and shit done on the door. At the moment, God. I think they're doing a combination of both, to be honest. Like, people are signing waivers and they're signing and they're being like tested, which the WWE actually only got their test this week because they didn't have them before. Oh, it's all fucked up. I don't remember anything I said. I didn't particularly enjoy this week anything this week either. Like, the pay-per-view, it's still good that it's just 3 hours, but
it does that makes a big difference to me, I feel.
But it was all about one match, and then when we get to this match, it was fine, it was good, but it was never going to live up to that. And then they made it even harder with all of that crowd noise and all that shit. I mean, other matches on the card, Sheamus's match was okay, but Drew's match was good. But it just feels like nothing matters with this atmosphere at the moment, and I don't understand why it's why we're not going back to the 50% why we're still having this. If they've decided to commit to these few fans and they do have waivers and they're going down the waivers approach, what is it with this whole slow progress thing? Why don't you just book a building and let's just go, or at least fill this one up? Unless this is how they're going to fill it up with social distancing. The standing bullshit doesn't help. You get a load of people in either.
I laugh because the fucking Street Profits go into the fucking crowd and are slapping hands and everyone's next to each other. I go, why? Don't tell me everybody's 6 feet apart. Go fuck yourself. I agree. If this was just like Full Sail full, I'm happy. I'm completely fucking happy if it's an NXT size crowd. I will be content until whenever the fuck we need. That's fine, because there's enough fucking people to make a noise. Because, you know, when people are being fucking instructed, okay, now go cheer, you know, go out there and, you know, be extra excited. It's just, I mean, as bad as the crowds were before all this shit happened, it's, you really don't know what you have until it's gone. Because now I would die for one of those fucking dead crowds. Because it's fucking brutal at this point to deal with. And with their fucking, you know, glass over the walls and Jesus fucking Christ. And if I got to see the fucking Street Profits and the fucking Viking Raiders. Who's the black guy, by the way?
And that's that Batundi guy, I think, the one from Developmental.
Oh, okay. Is he an Indian guy or is he a black guy? Or is he like African?
I think he's a black guy. Let me have a look. Hold on.
Because, like, I heard right away, someone thought, immediately they all thought it was Titus, right? The first time we ever saw him. But I'm like, he's a little taller than fucking Titus is. But I'm like, now we have, I mean, this ninja shit is a thing now? We're going to have fucking ninjas?
I don't think it'll last that long. Babatunde, he's Polish-Nigerian.
Oh, Christ. He's a stupid scammer then, right?
Let's have a look at him here. Yeah, he's 6'10".
Jesus. Yeah, hopefully he can fucking move around, for God's sake. Because yeah, otherwise, you just got Giant Gonzalez. It doesn't matter how tall
he is. He's in a Netflix film with the main. He's in the Netflix film, the main event, where that little black kid gets the NXT contract.
Oh, really? Fuck. Jesus Christ. I mean, I can't imagine that they're going to keep him a ninja.
No, but he's going to have to be able to wrestle a little bit if they're going to do anything else with him.
Yeah, that's fucking rough. Is there anything else to talk about before we get out of here then? No need to drag on a show if we're fucking just about finished.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it is just, I mean, but when it's a week of a pay-per-view, there's no real need to rehash the SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously there was the pay-per-view, but the pay-per-view is nothing.
One second about the SmackDown that we could talk of. You got to see the piss in the face. Yeah. Nick had it blurred on the East Coast. I didn't see it at all on the West Coast.
You saw it on a pay-per-view then?
I did, and I was thrilled by it. What's funny is I saw it coming. You're like, you know what's coming. I'm like, oh, he's going to throw it in his fucking face. And I'm like doing stuff in the room at the same time, right? And I'm going to put something in the laundry, come back. And I go, all right. He was talking to him, and it went to a commercial. And so when we come back, he's washing his face. And they don't even say it. And I'm like, did he get fucking pissed? What the fuck did I miss? And I rewound it. And I was like, they literally fucking cut from him just talking to him. They went to the commercial. So I never saw it at all until the pay-per-view. And I was like, that was fucking great. That was fucking fantastic. But I'm sure somebody would be offended by it and would have to write to them and say, I don't think urine in the face is acceptable for children.
No. And that's probably what did end up happening, I guess. But or is in the board. I don't think people right now, they just probably just tweet them or whatever.
Yeah, they saw that it was on the East Coast, so they said, if it gets over to us in California, I'm going to write Tide and make them stop sponsoring you.
Let me see if the dickhead did write anything about it.
God, there's no fucking way. I will shit. You'd have to go back a long ways, because I'm sure he's tweeting the entire time that the pay-per-view is on about every fucking move that's fucking done and boring everybody to death.
Yeah, he is, but...
Yeah, that's a lot of those people with the... like, I realize that's how I got a lot of followers at Lingus Mafia, when we used to actually talk about wrestling, and now we just bullshit. But it was constantly tweeting during Raw and having funny lines and ripping shit. So that's what they do. They constantly have to be engaging, and then you'll get follows. But otherwise, I'm like, nah, people who listen to my show can follow me. Otherwise, I don't need the fake follow by those people that are just there because it's a wrestling fucking show, which is embarrassing half the time. And I'm sure a lot of the fans that listen to us and that are cool with us and are on more on our side and our type of humor are not those fucking basement dweller types. They are not the ones that have never seen a titty before. Shit like that, you know? So there's a group of normal fans, because when I've taken the girlfriend to a wrestling show, the first one she ever went to, I was like, I always have to make a statement and go, yeah, I'm a wrestling fan, but not like them. Like, you always have to preference. I'm not one of those people. I'm not wearing the belt to the show.
And I don't shower. He didn't respond, but he put, has Jeff not peed in a week? And he put, still hate this angle. Like, in a different
twist. My God, with that. Oh, fuck. Hate this angle. It's a fucking great angle. You use something real, for God's sake. Oh, fuck. It's unbelievable. You know, you could have an opinion and not like it, but don't fucking lambast them to fucking take it off the air. Because he has any influence and he's fucking a known person. So he has to fucking stand up for the fucking greater good of the world.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Like, I mean, I don't even know. I just don't know what more to. We know what he is. We know what he's fucking all about. Yeah. So
follow the guy that is tweeting for Billy, because it'll be Billy's thoughts that come out of it, and it's at dirtysheets.com. If you want to do that, and of course, either mine would be at Cav Manning or mostly at Lingus Mafia if you want to follow my stuff. Check out Billy. He'll be on Russo's The Brand. He is on every week on video and on podcast with Mr. Vince Russo. Say what you want about Vince. He very influential man in the business back in the day. Everyone swore by him, and now I don't know how all of a sudden he became a Vanilla Ice, where everyone loved him, and then they go, oh, Russo's horrible. I'm like, where'd that come from? Some all of a sudden now the guy's fucking awful. Okay. All right. Yeah, not every idea is going to be fucking guaranteed.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They're even say, like, you know, never hire Vince Russo. They're like telling AEW, like, never hire Vince Russo.
That is amazing to me. Like he's running something into the ground because no one could stop him. He takes control of the television camera, right? Give me a fucking break. Take some responsibility for yourself. So he was the fucking greatest in the world, and they would have killed themselves to have him during the Attitude Era, though, right? And now, never mind. That had nothing to do with him. Fucking people.
Yeah, I don't. Like I said, I can't. Maybe it's time, like, that we just basically come on and just do a very fucking short show about and just talk about what we see on the product and just give it an opinion.
And give an advice on what you would do differently if you had the fucking control. That's pretty much, I think, what the show should be.
Because the thing is, I can't fucking sit here and just keep continuing to, like, cover this bullshit, which is, which has to, like, cater to this very minute audience that might or might not criticize it. It's just fucking ridiculous. Because the thing is that I can't get inside their heads anymore and think what they want to see. I can't think about all of this wanting to cancel this and wanting to cancel that and reporting tweets and reporting TV shows and going on and looking for stuff to be offended with. I can't relate to the audience. And if the fact is that if the likes of us have, like, evaporated away over the years, mm-hmm. in terms of the audience that enjoyed all the Attitude stuff or enjoyed women or sit there and talk about women and rate them and things like that, where we do the Lingus show where people turn around and go, oh, the world's moved on from that. You can't objectify women. Miss Lingus is an offensive old concept and all this kind of stuff. Then I don't want to, like, move forward with it. So I'm not going to do a show where we evolve and move forward with the times, because they've not moved forward. They've literally, I don't know what this is, because mm-hmm. it's not moving forward. It is moving forward in terms of the fact that this is how we are moving forward, but it's also not, because it's fucking, it's a direction that I refuse to take. So there's even two things we do. We just continue to come here, be bored, rip this show apart and say, yeah, it was good for these modern day standards, and always kind of prefix that in there and say, yeah, it's good for now. It's as good as it could be for now. It's good when you're considering that it's written for absolute fucking shitbags. Mm-hmm. Or we try and look at it from the eyes of shitbags. And the thing is, when I start looking at it through the eyes of these fucking dweebs, like, that's when I really don't want to watch it. And I already feel like that's what I'm doing now. I'm already trying to say, okay, well, you can't do that, and you can't do this. And the thing is that the stuff that I'm saying that you can't do, in terms of an example, would be a good one because it went onto Russo's show as well. The knee to the neck on the go-home show. Why can't we do that? It's not actually against any kind of certification in terms of, like, it's not non-PG or anything like that. It's just controversial because you're playing off a real
life. They just say in bad taste because there's no specific word for it. You can't say it's racial. You can't say there's nothing. I don't know what the fuck you could say other than it. That is in bad taste. Somebody died like that. Well, fuck. Somebody died fucking, you know, doing all the wrestling. So don't do a powerbomb because someone got fucking paralyzed from it too. So,
but at the same time, there were a whole load of white people on social media that were doing it to each other and talking about how they didn't die and stuff due to George Floyd and all that.
And that's even worse than them going, look, see, it's no big deal. That's different. This is like Russo said, you can't have rape in a movie ever because it's a horrible thing. So you can't do it for pretend because it's making light of the matter now.
There's rape. It's like, give me movies.
Yeah, I know. But he's saying, oh, that's like you're not allowed to do that because if this is like you can't do things anymore, then they shouldn't be able to do that either because it's a horrible thing. So he's saying in wrestling, it's fucking acting. You should be able to do whatever the fuck you want. It's not real. It's wrestling is a weird thing because it's like people keep their character and take it with them. And people think they're that person. Like you don't call Bruce Willis John McClane, but, you know, you call Mick Foley Mankind. Shit like that. It's fucking odd.
But they don't keep it together on. They don't fucking keep it together on social media at all.
No, that's the thing. Like, you don't stay as John McClane on fucking on social media.
You got fucking Undertaker like picking up little cubs and that Karrion Kross who you know has got this cool character that was given to him, but he doesn't even fucking keep his part up on social media either. Like he's a really bad one in terms of Aleister Black's another one. Like his social media is embarrassing, and when you compare it to the character that he's got. I mean, Drew actually doesn't really have that character, but he tries to do it. He very rarely does things with his wife and whatnot, and really just tries to use it as professional as possible. But I mean, I was having a conversation with him about how he's not. When I said to him, I mean, my guy wanted me to ask Drew, and I'll just finish on this story, which is interesting. Why the WWE social was attacking this Forgotten Son guy on social media? How come? Mm-hmm. He goes, I always thought these guys had relationships where they would text each other or be in group chats or whatever. And Drew said, no, it's not, the locker room's like not like that at all. Like he said, like barely, it's not a case of everybody's, you're friends with a few people, but that's it. And he goes, especially this locker room now, it doesn't, it's very much, what did he say? Oh God, I won't be able to find a conversation. He basically just said it's nothing like what it would be. He said he said Undertaker was around it, and even said to him, he goes, this place is like completely changed. The respect is completely gone. Something like Wrestler's Court and whatever wouldn't fly anymore. It's all God. These people in these like very small like groups. And just kind of everybody just doing their own thing. And there's no one there to pull anybody up on to go to for advice, or to pull anyone up on in terms of to go to and tell them that they shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that. Because he tried to take the role last year where he pulled something up on Leo Rush and said, you know, pissing a load of people off or whatever. And Leo Rush reported him to like human resources, and the human resources like actually pulled him in and said, you know, you can't be going up to people and telling them how they need to like conduct themselves.
Wow. So at that point, piss poor.
At that point, Drew just turned around and said, well, fuck this. Cause like, I can't be.
Yeah.
I can't be this Undertaker role that I envisioned myself taking, even though I have all this time in the business, because that role can't exist anymore because we have, human resources monitoring everybody and all this like, you know, wellness shit going on. We've got guys that will go and fucking tell on you, basically.
Yeah, no hazing allowed, that's for sure.
So it translates to in and out of the business. So we got these fucking dweebs getting into wrestling, and we got these dweebs watching wrestling, and it's just becoming very, very like off-putting in terms of you. And you could see why there was this point where you could at least see where the fans were going at one point when they were going and directing themselves towards UFC. They lost a lot of people to UFC who turned around and said, mm-hmm. you know what, I'll just watch this. But now with UFC, like, struggling to keep the characters that made that famous, with all the losses being put on Conor and Brock leaving and Ronda leaving and John Jones having all these drug problems and whatnot. And also now with the new TV deal that I spoke about also on Russo's YouTube channel, where they get paid a flat fee for each pay-per-view. So they get $17 million per pay-per-view or whatever. And the fighters know that. So the fighters now want to be paid more. But the deal that UFC have got with the company, with ESPN, is like, look, some cards are going to be bad. And some cards are going to have John Jones on them, or Conor McGregor on them, or Amanda Nunes on them. It's going to like be dependent, like, but not every card is going to have every guy, and it's not going to be like WWE. Yeah. So when they pay $17 million a pay-per-view, they have to take the rough with the smooth. They have to take the $250,000 buy rates, and then also they get paid the same for the $1 million buy rate. So UFC's money is guaranteed. But then you have these people like chipping in and saying, look, but I want more money now, and I want to fight. I want $3 million to fight my next fight. And that's the problem that they're having. You won't get this problem with WWE. When WWE end up going on a streaming service, which they will, you won't end up getting these problems, because these wrestlers don't have the backbone to fight their corner and say that I want X, Y, and Z for this appearance because I know what this pay-per-view generates and I'm in the main event. It won't happen at all. You'll get guys working for $100,000 in the main event, and the only guy that comes in and says shit is Brock. And that's why he comes in with a sweet deal and does whatever he likes. And I mean, he could come in at SummerSlam and win this belt back off Drew, if that's what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't give a shit. So I'm going to just crack on and get on with my life and send my tweets through this person that wants to run this Twitter account. So.
Very good. All right. Check him out. He's at the Vince Russo show. And he will give a lot of upcoming info on SummerSlam as well. There was a lot of tidbits over there if you wanted to hear some inside shit. So for
this is the first day I'm doing that show tomorrow. It's the first time I have an empty notepad for the show. I haven't actually written anything down to say, and I've not have got any enthusiasm to do it tomorrow at all.
Well, that's when you're usually at your best, though. When you go off the cuff. And you go wild. Well, I just promoted that you'll have a lot of inside shit to go talk about on Russo, but I guess not. All right, everybody. He's Billy Body. I'm Cav Manning of the Lingus Mafia. And we're out of time.